Since the hair is black, it was clearly visible that the dust is covering it. Lord Krishna would control the chariot in a greatly artistic manner. His lotus face was covered by beads of sweat. This enhanced the beauty of his face. Pearl-like white drops was a splendor on his bluish dark body. Locks of hair covered by the dust was flowing hither and thither. He was so frantic about making his friend Arjuna victorious that he had no time to manage his hair. This proves that the Lord extremely loves his devotees. He could not manage it. Nice, no? He is laboring so hard. The Lord says, Hum Bhaktan Ke Bhakt Hamare. I belong to my devotees and my devotees belong to me. The Lord not only controlled the chariot. Day and night he would be in thoughts of how to make Arjuna victorious. Arjuna could not see this beauty of the Lord because Sri Krishna used to be in front of him as a charioteer and Arjuna was standing behind him, fighting. This form of the Lord was seen by the opposing party member Bhishma Dev to his eyes complete satisfaction. So Bhishma Dev is saying, let my mind rejoice in Krishna alone. And he thinks of Krishna as standing on the chariot. Previously, then he ran down, and as he proceeded towards him, the dust which was raised by the hooves of the many horses were covering Krishna totally. Krishna was really laboring hard to serve his devotee Arjuna and make him victorious. And Krishna did this throughout the whole battle of Kurukshetra. He was really thinking of his devotee Arjuna and the Pandavas. I see this particular scene that grandfather Bhishma had been approached by Duryodhana one evening. Duryodhana had said, my lord, Bhishma, I don't think you fight like a champion. You are sparing the Pandavas, otherwise they would have been dead by now. But now this to say to a champion is really an insult. I'm not fighting out of sentimental emotions. No Kshatriya can tolerate such a thing. When Arjuna heard from Yudhishthira, you are not fighting properly. Better you give me your Gandiva bow and I can use it properly. Arjuna was prepared to attack his brother. You cannot say this to a Kshatriya. You are not fighting for some emotional reason. It's not possible. That's against the codex. So Bhishma became very angry. He said, you don't know what you're saying. Tomorrow I will use these five particular arrows. I kept them since the beginning of the war. These arrows are powerful enough. Each can kill one of the five Pandavas. Oh, said Duryodhana, God, but before you think differently, better you give them into my course, because you leave my abode, so that nothing will happen to them in the night. So Krishna knew that there were these five arrows powerful enough to kill his beloved devotees. So he told Arjuna, let's go over to Duryodhana. Let's celebrate a little bit. The first day of the battle is over. Then Arjuna came to Duryodhana, and Duryodhana, true to Kshatriya rules, greeted him affectionately and said, "Arjuna, you are here. Would you like to have the land without fighting? I'm prepared to give it. Whatever you wish, you can get from me." Arjuna said, "No, I only want these five arrows."
"What five arrows?"
"The five arrows of Bhishma, which are in your custody." So Yodhana had to give them according to Kshatriya ethics. And this was to be Yodhana. "As Arjuna, who told you that I have them? It must be your Pata Sharadi, Charitra Vasudev." And Krishna smiled. Yes. So in this way, there were many, many opportunities for Krishna to use his all-knowing, omnipotent nature to help the Pandavas and thus prove his name, Bhakta Vatsala, to be true. Many, many opportunities. Many opportunities to show how Krishna is partial to his devotees. Grandfather Bhishma now remembers these opportunities and he is ready to to meditate about Krishna by investing his mind in Krishna, who worked so hard that he could not even manage his hair. When I hear this expression, I'm remembering why don't you bring your heart in order? Every day you bring your hair in order. Why don't you bring your heart in order? Toshta and Sharangita and myself smile because we don't need much effort to put our hair in order. So then there is another verse. Sapadi Saki Vachuni Samya Matye Nija Parayo Balayo Ratam Nivesha Stita Vatipara Shanika Yakshna Rita Vatipata Sakera Timamastu. Bhishma Dev says, "Pata Sakera Timamastu," meaning, "Let me have unflinching love in Pata Saka Shri Krishna." How he is Pata Saka is being said. In obedience to the command of his friend Arjuna, Lord Shri Krishna instantly placed the chariot in between both the teams of soldiers. In order to make Arjuna victorious, the Lord shortened the lifespans of the opposing party by his merciful glance. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the Lord not only removed Arjuna's temporary foolishness, but he also removed the parapta of the soldiers. Simply by the glance of the Lord, the material bondage came to an end. Almost everyone who died in the battle of Kurukshetra went to the abode of the Lord. The Lord is merciful towards all. He has no enmity towards anyone. In Kurukshetra it appeared that I'm only on Arjuna's side and I'm opposing the Kurus, but he is on nobody's side. Shri Krishna belongs to all. Let my devotion be unto such Pata Saka that my mind dwell in such a Pata Sarati alone. I think that's a very nice explanation how Krishna, by his glance, removed the two things. For his devotees, he took, for his devotee Arjuna, he took away the darkness. Arjuna was in a great conflict. He could not fight. It was so bad. He was really in a problematic situation. He really did not like he wanted to run away from the battlefield. So when he confronted Krishna with this decision, Krishna just smiled. And he broke out in his smile. And then Arjuna forgot about his desire to not fight. I think this happens when we sit before the deity and look at the deity, smile. Especially it is said a devotee must always remember the smile of the Lord. When you meditate about Krishna, you first meditate about the smile as the lips just open a little bit and you see his pearl-like teeth, and then the smile transforms into a laughter. Eternal laughter. The greatest mercy which Krishna shows his devotees is smile and his laughter. It will dry away all the ignorance of the devotee and make the devotee happy. Therefore, the darshan of the devotees is very important. And for the others, Krishna just took away their karma, their parapta karma. That is what was manifest, or what was about to manifest. And they could take liberation. So now there is a segment on the blowing of the conch shells. In the battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishma Dev blew the conch shell first. Then the Kuru warriors blew their own conch shells. Kettle drums. And other instruments. Sanjaya says, Shaptas Tumulo Bhavat. The sound was tumultuous. However, its effect on the Pandavas is not being described at all. Thereafter, the Pandavas blew their conch shell. Lord Sri Krishna blew his conch shell named?
Panchajanya.
Arjuna blew his conch shell called? Devadatta. And Bhimse blew his Mahashank, or terrific conch shell, named Pondra. Mahashank means a human skull. Therefore, Sanjaya says, Vima Karma Vikrodara, meaning the performer of Herculental, Vima. King Yudhishthira blew his conch shell. The Ananta Vijay, Nakula and Sahadev blew the Sugosha and Manipushpaka. Other warriors too blew their own respective conch shell. Sanjay comments to Dhritarashtra about the Pandavas blowing of conch shells. Here's a comment. The sound of these conch shells shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra and their soldiers. This means that their enthusiasm for the battle came to an end. Some fell off their vehicles and some fainted. They felt as if lightning had struck all of them. Some time was given to the Kurus to get back to normal. So after some time, the soldiers of the Kurus settled back, meaning those that fell off somehow got up and climbed on their horse, their elephant or chariot. Thereafter, Arjuna, inspired by the Lord, raised his bow, showing it in both directions, meaning raising his bow, he signaled them to stop. Arjuna was a world-famous warrior, a and a great personality. Therefore, by his signaling, everyone stopped. This time, Arjuna tells Rishikesha, imagine the beginning of the battlefield, that conch shell blowing was already so wild that they all fell from their element. So then Arjuna, showing his bow, and everyone goes, stop. Then Arjuna tells Rishikesha, hey Arjuna, please draw my chariot between the two armies. So long as I see those who desire to fight, I long to see those who desire to fight. Till then, please keep the chariot standing. I wish to see with whom I must contend in this battlefield. Let me see those who have come here to fight, wishing to please the evil-minded son of Dhritarashtra. Arjuna said this in full vigor, enthusiastic to fight. Now Sanjaya tells King Dhritarashtra, having thus been addressed by Arjuna, Lord Krishna drew up the fine chariot in the midst of the armies of both parties. So, as to create illusion in Arjuna's heart, Lord Krishna stationed the chariot right in front of Grandfather Bhishma and Dronacharya. Then, pointing his finger, he said, just behold, Pata, all the Kurus assembled here with Grandfather Bhishma and Dronacharya. Arjuna himself was of the Kuru dynasty. The Lord said it in such a manner that knowing the relationship, illusion would instantly arise within Arjuna's mind. He could have driven Arjuna at some other place, but he drove him before his grandfather and said, look, who's there? Nice. Standing within the midst of the armies of both parties, Arjuna could see his own relatives on both sides of the armies. He saw his father's grandfather, Bhishma, teachers like Dronacharya and Kripacharya, fathers-in-law, maternal uncles like Shalya and Shakuni, brothers like Duryodhana, sons, grandsons, friends and well-wishers. Seeing them, Arjuna was overcome by compassion. Illusion engulfed him and he said, hey Krishna, seeing my own kinsmen in both armies in such a fighting spirit, my body is quivering and my mouth is drying up. Meaning, I'm unable to even speak. My whole body is trembling, my hair is standing on end, my bow gun Deva is slipping from my hand, and my skin is burning. Hey Krishna, I'm now unable to stand on the chariot any longer. I'm forgetting myself, and my mind is reeling. I see only causes of misfortune. Assuming that the Lord is asking Arjuna, why are you feeling this way? Arjuna answers, you know, imagine, he's a warrior. He was so enthusiastic one moment, the next moment he is he's totally unable to fight. His body is quivering, his mouth is drying up, and at the same time tears are coming. Everything is and dramatic disorder. So why? He says, I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsmen in this battle. Nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom or happiness. O Govinda, of what avail to us is a kingdom, happiness or even life itself? I do not desire to live killing my own kinsmen. All those for whom we may desire happiness and opulence, for whom we may earn wealth and kingdom, are now ready to die. My spiritual masters, my fathers, grandfathers, maternal uncles, father-in-law, grandsons, are all standing in front of me, ready to give up their lives. Therefore, I do not find any benefit in this. Now the Lord may say, you think that these are our own kinsmen and by killing them we will not have any benefit? But your kinsmen are not thinking in this manner. They are ready to fight against you. So Arjuna says, O Janardhan, these men are unable to understand the fault in killing one's family and quarreling with friends. When the elders are killed, the religious principles are destroyed, and irreligion will flourish. We know all this. We know all this. Therefore, to escape from this crime, we should not fight. And then he gives his reasons. When irreligion is prominent in the family, the women of the family become polluted, giving rise to unwanted progeny, as a result of which the religious principles in the family will be destroyed. That means everything will fall down. The ancestral offerings of food and water will stop. As a result, the ancestors dwelling in the higher planets will fall down to hellish planets, and we will never achieve our supreme goal. It's interesting, huh? He thinks when all the families will become widow families, their husbands will all have been died, will all be dead, and people will come and exploit these women, everything will become totally unmanageable, and then the debt which we owe, I find this very interesting, to the people who were before us, our ancestors, to whom we should take care, is also a danger. Alas, how strange is it that we are preparing to commit greatly sinful acts. Driven by the desire to enjoy royal happiness, we are intent on killing our own kinsmen. Assuming that the Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, even if you don't fight with them, they will kill you, then Arjuna is answering, better for me if the sons of Dhritarashtra's weapon in hand were to kill me unarmed and unresisting on the battlefield. Sanjaya said, Arjuna says, I prefer to be killed by these people who don't see these subtle points. Sanjaya said, Arjuna, having thus spoken on the battlefield, cast aside his bow and arrows and sat down on the chariot, his mind overwhelmed with grief. He was thinking that the Lord will approve his feelings to be extremely great. However, the Lord showed that to be absolutely wrong. Very interesting point. Arjuna saw all these problems which were mentioned, that, you know, he would kill his family members, and he would be responsible for a great disaster in human society by killing so many married men, leaving the women of the society alone without any support. And he was thinking, this is good. Now, on one level, these feelings of compassion are very good, but the whole Bhagavad Gita, and I like this so much about this part, teaches another principle, that acting in yoga, that is, acting for the pleasure of the Lord, is higher than even these other principles. And this is something which I really feel is something I'm really conscious about, and I really like to see my activities as giving pleasure to Krishna. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy. People will not say that Arjuna did not fight the battle out of compassion. They will say that Arjuna, when he saw the soldiers on the battle, ran away, giving the excuse of compassion. This way, they will insult you. O son of Prita, do not yield to this degrading impotence and arise. You are always an expert in destroying your enemies. When the Lord thus rebuked Arjuna, Arjuna said, O killer of enemies, O killer of Madhu, tell me, how can I counteract with arrows and battle men like Bhishma and Drona, who are worthy of my worship? It would be better to live in this world by begging than to live at the cost of the lives of these great souls who are my teachers. Even though desiring worldly gain, they are superiors. If they are killed, everything we enjoy will be tainted with blood. I can never enjoy such a kingdom. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we killed the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are now standing before us on the battlefield. I will not fight. Then Arjuna becomes thoughtful for a while and says, now I'm confused about my duty and have lost all my composure because of miserly weakness. I'm unable to find out what is best for me. Dharma samudha chetasa, meaning my intelligence is bewildered. I don't know my religious duties in this situation. You please tell me what is best for me. Now if the Lord would say, why should I tell you about your duties? I'm your friend, and at this time I am your charioteer. To this Arjuna says, no, now I'm your disciple and the soul surrendered unto you. Please be merciful unto me and instruct me. Whatever happens, the Lord is always the Lord, and the living entity is always the Lord. Arjuna, being the rider on the chariot, still surrendering to the Lord. Thereafter, Arjuna says, I cannot find the means to drive away this grief, which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel it, even if I'm in a prosperous and unrivaled kingdom on earth, which rulership and demigods have. So I think we all will come in our life in this situation, where we just don't know anymore what is right and what is wrong. At that time, the only way is to surrender to Krishna and pray to him. He says, then Krishna sees now he's ready, he wants to hear. I think sometimes Krishna waits until we cry. And this is always described by our Goswamis. We have to come to the point of tears. The way out of this world goes only by the road of tears. We have to find that road, the road of the tears, that we cry so much for Krishna. And Krishna will take up his responsibility and he will speak to us. By speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. Bhishmadeva is remembering such loving dealings of the Lord at the end of his life. Bhishmadeva is using the word om for the Pandavas army because Sri Krishna considered the army of the Pandavas as his own. The word pa means opposite party, Duryodhana's army. In the midst of both the armies, the Lord preached the Bhagavad Gita. Grandfather Bhishma, Dronacharya, and others were also listening to the Bhagavad Gita along with Arjuna. The Lord's arrangement was such that all the soldiers who were assembled
gave up the battle and were listening to him. The Lord was speaking like the thundering of the clouds. The Lord was speaking, and the world's greatest archer and exalted warrior was asking questions. Everyone was listening to this very attentively. Grandfather Bhishma was listening in full bliss. Bhishma did, at the end of his lifespan, is remembering this mercy.
How Krishna sang the Gita. In fact, Krishna had thought in Vrindavan, I better start singing and practicing my singing. So he went always into the forest and sang different songs because he knew later.
Ja, das dauert aber hier rumzulaufen. Das kennt ihr das?
Ja, 3 Stunden.
3 Stunden.
Wir sind aber von Zarko raus. Und
ach, Sie? Aha. Nee, ich hatte mich erst so spät entschlossen überhaupt. Weil ich in Potsdam zu tun hatte. Da in Golm hatte ich jemanden hinzubringen.
Wohnen Sie auch hier in Golm?
Nee, in Berlin.
In Berlin.
Und Sie hier im Dorf, oder?
Ja, Schmidt.
Wir sind in Zarko.
Was sind Sie?
Ich lebe in Zarko.
In Zarko?
In Zarko. Bin dort als ein, ich arbeite Seminare aus und wir sind gerade auf einem Rundgang um den See, um ein bisschen eine richtigen Punkt der Reife, der spirituellen Reifung des Menschen zu erleben, dass wir Gott innerhalb der Natur sehen. Ich finde, das ist sehr wichtig, dass wir nicht immer unseren Blick nach oben in den Himmel richten, um ihn dort irgendwo auf einem Thron zu vermuten, sondern dass wir sehen können, wie er in der Natur, die uns umgibt, gegenwärtig ist.
Ja, dann sind Sie hier ja ganz richtig hier.
Wir sind im Tempel der Natur angelangt.
Ja, ich war auch ganz stolz, als ich das nach dem Mauerfall entdeckt hatte hier.
Ja.
Erstaunten einige, was du alles rauskriegst und sowas. Ne? War dann einfach so in die Landschaft gefahren und...
Viele Dinge im Leben, die so uns geschehen, erleben wir fast wie Bleistifte, die plötzlich den Siddhartha oder den Zauberberg oder irgendein literarisches Werk geschrieben haben. Sie haben ihn nicht geschrieben aus eigener Kraft, sondern sie wurden geführt von einer Hand. Mhm. So sehr oft erleben auch wir im Leben, dass wir plötzlich in höhere Zusammenhänge hineinkommen. Wir müssen daraus schließen, wahrscheinlich sind wir hier reingeführt worden.
Das kann so sein.
Hat Christoph Kolumbus Amerika entdeckt oder wurde er nach Amerika geführt? Das ist eine wichtige Frage.
Darüber ist bisher ja keine endgültige Auskunft oder Erkenntnis gekommen. Aber jetzt ein anderes Erlebnis hier. Ich bin ja aus West-Berlin.
Ja. Ne?
Und ein paar Monate nach der Maueröffnung, da wurde von Claro, sind auch Hunderte oder wenn nicht tausend Leute oder sowas, einfach mal hier auf der anderen Seite hierher gelaufen dann.
Ja.
Und ich hatte danach den... Aber den Sarkozy hatte man da noch nicht gesehen, weil man da praktisch mehr von Claro aus da hinten, also hinter dem See entlang gekommen war und dann den Wannsee gesehen hatte.
Ja.
Und,
was,
ne? und das ist überhaupt, wenn man das bedenkt, dass, also dann die erste Sache war, ich war dann paar Wochen oder paar Monate später, kam eine Griechin aus Athen und wollte das auch nach Potsdam und sich ansehen und sowas. Und dann bin ich mit ihr dahin gefahren und dann zur St. Heilandskirche.
Hier?
Ja.
Ja.
Heißt doch,
Und nur Heilandskirche.
Heilandskirche. Ja. Da waren wir reingegangen und auf einmal wurde es so voll, dass wir Schwierigkeiten hatten, wieder rauszukommen. Und da haben wir gesagt, dann bleiben wir hier. Und dann fand ein Gottesdienst statt und eine Taufe. Und da wurde dann wurde das Paar getraut, die dieses Kind hatten. Und das war ein Wessi-Ossi-Produkt. Da war einer von den beiden, wer das weiß ich nicht, von West-Berlin nach Potsdam gekommen oder sowas. Und da ist dann dieses Mädchen gekommen. Und ich weiß noch, wie die Frau aus Athen, das Mädchen hieß Pauline, hatte den Namen Pauline gekriegt. Und ich habe sie dann jahrelang nicht mehr mit ihr gesprochen, weil die inzwischen auch nicht ganz nach Athen gekommen ist. Aber wenn wir mal telefonierten, sprach die immer wieder von Pauline und so. Ja, die wird inzwischen auch schon 22 Jahre alt sein.
Hat sie im Herzen berührt wahrscheinlich, das Film.
Ja. Ja, ja. Und diese Wanderung, ein paar Monate vorher, das war der erste warme Frühlingstag. Das hatten dann so viele wahrgenommen. Da waren wir auch an der Heilandskirche. Aber da war dann auch ein Ehepaar, Nachbarn von mir in Berlin. Und die haben eine ganz besondere Rolle gespielt.
Ja, aber ich würde vorschlagen, bevor wir jetzt auf dieses wichtige Thema, also auf dieses sicherlich interessante Thema kommen, wir sind gerade bei und lesen einen Text, als diese liebenswürdig sich jetzt angeschlossen haben.
Ich will jetzt auch gleich wieder weg, das erzähle ich ganz schnell noch, weil das wirklich ganz interessant
gut,
ist.
Gut.
Der hat den Abschluss einer Geschichte gemacht, wovon ich erst vor einem Jahr Kenntnis bekommen hatte. Wie gesagt, 22 Jahre vorher hier gewesen. Und da hatten wir eine Eigentümerversammlung und dann erzählte ich dann der Frau und dann noch der Nachbarin, wo die Eigentümerversammlung stattfand, ob sie den Film, weißt du, wo warst du, als die Berliner Mauer fiel? Es gab so einen Fernsehfilm.
Habe ich nicht gesehen, aber ja.
Ja. Und dort wurde gezeigt, dass zwei Tage nach dem Mauerfall, wo 1 Million Menschen auf dem Kudamm gewesen sind.
Ja.
Ich war auch mit dem Auto zur U-Bahn gefahren und dann mit der U-Bahn dahin und zurück. Und
auch übrigens, ich war mit ab durch dieses Brandenburger Tor dann.
Ja, aber und als ich dann zurückkam und parkte, war gegenüber 20 Meter auf der anderen Seite ein Rettungswagen mit Blaulicht und Rotlicht oder was das war. Und man hörte nichts, man sah nichts. Es kam keiner raus, keiner rein. Und am nächsten Tag las man in den Zeitungen, dass dort eine Frau vor lauter Aufregung auf offener Straße entdeckt wurde. Das ist der einzige Fall anlässlich des Mauerfalls, wo das passiert ist.
Ja, ja.
Und ich wollte im Laufe der Zeit immer mal zum Standesamt und mich mal erkundigen, was dann aus dem Kind geworden ist. Aber dann war ich dann doch nicht dazu gekommen. Nur wenn ich mal Besuch hatte, dann erzählte ich ja, hier ist ein historischer Ort. Und vor 3 Jahren gehe ich jeden Tag über den Platz, Fürstenplatz ist das, im Westend. Und da war ein Fernsehteam. Und da fragte ich, darf ich fragen, um was es geht? Ja, wir drehen eine Fernsehserie über die Berliner Mauer und über den Fall. Und da habe ich gesagt, da sind Sie ja wohl richtig, 20 Meter weiter ist das und das passiert.
Ja. Ne?
Und den erzählte ich auch von der Pauline hier in der Heilandskirche.
Ja, ja.
Und dann sagten die, drehen sich doch mal um. Und da stand dann die Mutter mit der Tochter.
Also,
die Tochter inzwischen schon 18 Jahre alt. Und
Nektar.
Und dann wurden wir gefilmt.
Auch, ne? Sie auch?
Ja, ja, auch.
Als der wusste davon.
Der davon wusste und sowas. Aber ich habe die noch nie vorher gesehen. Und das wurde dann in dem Film gezeigt. Einmal der Kommandant von der Bornholmer Straße, darf er die durchlassen und sowas, das wurde immer wieder gezeigt. Und dann die Geburt des Kindes und dann noch eine andere Sache. Und und dann fragte ich die Mutter, sagen Sie mal, wieso sind Sie denn hier gelandet und nicht am Kudamm? Ja, sagte sie, sie wollte ihre Eltern besuchen und zur Rechenschaft ziehen. Die waren 2-3 Monate vorher als Rentner, hatten die sich in den Westen abgesetzt. Und, also das ist wirklich eine schöne Geschichte.
Eine bombastische Geschichte. Ich habe gerade, weil der Ohren wurden schwitzt, wir sind in einer Situation, wir haben wir wohnen noch bis zum Dezember, bevor wir nach Australien müssen, wohnen wir in Sachsau, besuchen aber nach einem geeigneten Haus zum Mieten. Wissen Sie da was in dieser
Gegend? Wo
in dieser Umgebung?
Hier?
Ja. Haben Sie irgendwelche Verbindungen, weil Sie sagten, Sie sind bei einer Eigentümerversammlung gewesen?
Bei mir, wo ich in Westend, in Berlin, in Charlottenburg.
Ach, da.
Ja. In Charlottenburg. Ach so. Und das wollte ich, diese Verbindung. Und dann erzählte ich das und dann fragte ich die eine Frau, sagen Sie mal, haben Sie den Film gesehen, den Fernsehfilm? Wo warst du, als die Berliner Mauer fiel? Nee, sagte sie, davon wusste sie nicht. Und dann erzählte ich das da mit der Geburt und da sagte sie, nee, ich war noch gar nicht so weit gekommen, da sagte sie, ich weiß jetzt schon, was kommt. Was denn? Ja, auf dem Fürstenplatz die Geburt des Kindes.
Ja.
Und ihr Mann ist Arzt, der wollte ihr helfen als das Kind. Und sie wollte sich nicht helfen lassen. Und da hatten die dann in dem Lokal gegenüber den Rettungswagen bestellt. Und die haben von mir dann voriges Jahr, da habe ich eine DVD gekriegt vom Fernsehen, haben dann auch eine DVD gekriegt. Auch. Also das ist der einzige Fall.
Lieber Herr, wie immer Ihr werter Name ist, ich habe mich sehr gefreut, Sie zu treffen. Lassen Sie jetzt das aber bitte weiter.
Ja, gut, also dann alles Gute. Und
alles
dann ein Haus oder eine Wohnung?
Haben Sie jetzt nicht was irgendwie?
Nicht in der Gegend hier. Ist bestimmt schwierig zu finden, denn das wohnt sich doch bestimmt ganz gut hier.
Ich glaube auch.
Also.
Alles Liebe und Gute.
Tschüss.
So, ja. Okay, we can continue. Bhishmadev says, Arjuna, upon seeing us as the opposing army leaders, withdrew from killing his own kinsmen, considering it a great sin. At that time, the Lord eradicated his ignorance by delivering transcendental knowledge in the form of Gita. May his lotus feet always remain the object of my attraction. All the arguments that Arjuna presented to the Lord to avoid the battle is termed by Bhishmadev as ignorance. Arjuna is the eternal associate of the Lord. His mind and heart will never waver from the instructions of Sri Krishna. Krishna is seated right there on the chariot. It is foolish for an associate to neglect his words, showing so much of compassion towards kinsmen and thus raising objection towards him. From the worldly point of view, Arjuna's compassion for his kinsmen, his love for them, his lack of greed to enjoy and rule are all the topmost. However, from the devotional, the spiritual point of view, disobeying the orders of the Lord and being anxious of the past and future of family members is foolishness. An individual has no relationship with anyone other than Krishna. The soul is eternally related to Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna alone is our relative. He is mother. He is father, brother, friend, everything. In any situation, it is the duty of a living entity to follow his orders. And we will end. An individual under the influence of worldly relationships fails to understand his relationship with the Lord. He does not give importance to the Lord in his life. This is polluted intelligence. Lord Sri Krishna removed Arjuna's polluted intelligence with the message of Bhagavad Gita. So long as Bhagavad Gita persists in this world, the polluted intelligence of one who reads it and listens to it will be destroyed. Actually, this is a blessing which Krishna got from Sandipani Muni. Your words, Sandipani Muni said, will always remain fresh and relevant to the people. What is purified intelligence for a living being? To develop love for Patashaka, to love the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, to hear and glorify Him, to serve Him, to obey His order. This is purified intelligence. Towards the end of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, Karishye vachanam tava, I will follow your orders. This is Arjuna's purified intelligence, the supreme occupational duty of all living beings is defined in Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. The supreme occupation for all of humanity means to develop one's love for Krishna. Savai Bhonso Parodhava. I always like these texts of the Gita because somehow the Gita puts us in a different context. The context is all of a sudden, what is Krishna's pleasure? What pleases Krishna? How can I serve Krishna? And with that, we are moved out of the human dimension, out of the material dimension, into the spiritual dimension. Gita is always doing that, especially it is said at times of fear and at times of disorientation. We should take shelter in the Gita, because by listening to the words of Krishna, our fear and disorientation will go. Have you made experience of this? Maybe not so much. I know when I'm afraid, I always read the second chapter of the Gita. That is usually before going to the dentist. That's the time that I'm afraid. And it always amazes me, it strikes me, how my fear is disappearing just by the words of the Krishna in the Bhagavad. I mean, what could be a better situation? Arjuna is driven before his grandfather. Krishna points at him and says, "Here is Bhishma. He wanted to see the people you with whom you are fighting." You know, Arjuna is powerful warriors. He just stopped the inferno of Conchu blowing with his bow. He said, "Now listen, stop. I will move in the center of the battlefield to see the strategic position of everyone. Then we will make the plan, and then we will attack. And then we say the carpet was ripped under his feet." But he only wanted to run away. And Krishna gave him a third alternative. Fight was not the alternative. Run away was not the alternative. It was serve me, think of me, be with me. That is what Krishna wants to show us. act is not the activity, is not the solution, nor is it don't act. The solution is self. Therefore, you know, I always like to ask myself, am I still working or am I already serving? Having said this, we will say, Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai, Shri Arjuna ki jai, Shri Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Shri Pitamah Bhishma Deva ki jai. Go, Premanandi, Hare Rama.